Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated for just a moment tonight before that I read scripture text. You feel the sweet presence of the Holy Ghost in this house tonight. I pray that we will just continue throughout the remainder of this service to entertain the touch of God that is here upon His people tonight. Thank God. Amen. And it's not something that just got here. It's been here from the very beginning of these services. Last night, the presence of the Lord was here in such a beautiful manner, beautiful way. Throughout the day today, the presence of the Lord has been here. Do you appreciate that? Do you appreciate God coming to meet with us? Amen. Thank God. And it's such an honor of mine to be here once again. This is my third time to come and be here. And each time that I've come, it has been a blessing to me. And just appreciate the opportunity to be here again. Primarily to receive what the Lord has for us in these services. And I have certainly already been tremendously blessed. Amen. What good preaching that we have heard, and how our hearts have been stirred by the word of the Lord. Amen. Brother Padgett last night, and I notice, Sister Padgett, that Brother Bass paid attention to you. I remember the first time that I was here, I believe it was the first time, that I spoke on Wednesday night, and Brother Padgett was the Friday night preacher. And I heard Sister Padgett tell Brother Bass, "Don't you ever do that to me again." Putting her husband on the last night of this conference. So I see you paid attention, Brother Bass. But my, what a beginning. Brother Padgett blessed us last night, the word of the Lord. Amen. And I want everybody to know. Y'all all know Brother Nance is from Kansas. I want everybody to know I'm from Kansas too. Amen. I tell you what, with that kind of preaching, I'm glad I'm from Kansas, too. That's right. And we got a couple of other Kansas men here in this conference. Brother Johnny King. Y'all didn't know Brother Johnny King was from Kansas, but he is. Amen. Brother King, stand up. This is Brother Johnny King from Kansas. And hallelujah. Thank you, Brother King and Brother Melendez. And Brother Melendez and Brother King from Junction City, ministers of the gospel, and so glad to see them here all the way down here in Florida. And then they sandwiched Canada right between Kansas today. Sandwiched Canada right between Kansas. My Brother McKillop. My. Amen. He was saying so much there, I was getting choked. I couldn't swallow as fast as he was trying to feed me. I'm telling you, my. It was so rich, so good. And I could barely get one bite chewed up and swallowed. What a full plate that he gave us today. Praise God. So good to be here with all the saints of God, and I certainly want to let you know that I appreciate you. Thank God for good saints. Amen. And then I honor all of these ministers of the gospel that are here, and appreciate so much the blessing that the ministry has been to me. Many of these men have blessed us in Kansas, preaching our conferences and camp meetings and youth camps. And we appreciate all the good word of the Lord. Praise God. I want to read tonight from the book of Colossians, the third chapter. Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1. We're going to read through verse number 4. I'm looking forward with great anticipation to the services tomorrow. Hearing the men that are going to be speaking in the services in the morning, Brother Pixler and Brother Gross, and then tomorrow evening, Brother Garrett. So looking forward to hearing them preach tomorrow. Colossians chapter 3, beginning with the first verse. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. And everybody say amen.
Amen.
The word of the Lord's good. The word of the Lord is right. Amen. I want to preach tonight for a little while from the subject, the challenge of staying hid. Everybody say that with me tonight, would you? The challenge of staying hid. For ye are dead, and your life is, everybody say it, hid. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Would you pray with me one more time? Let's ask God to help us tonight. Father, in your precious name.
The Lord, the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated in Jesus' name. There are times that we do have a misperception and even a misconception of the way things really ought to be. Or perhaps the way that things really were. When we think of the New Testament church and the ministry of Jesus Christ, at the time of the changing of the guard, we often think of the crowds that thronged the places where that Jesus was preaching, and the crowds that followed Him in His ministry.
All right.
And we get it in our minds that Jesus must have been a real promoter of the kingdom, or a real promoter of His own ministry. And even think within our minds that perhaps the apostles must have themselves been great promoters. I think that there might be a very stark contrast between our idea of the way that it was and the way that it really was. For Jesus' ministry was not an overt ministry, but it was a very covert ministry. The ministry of the apostles was not an overt ministry, but even their ministry also was a covert ministry. It was not that way at the very beginning, but through the process of time and through the efforts of God and the teachings of Jesus, they learned how important that it was. That then rather for them to promote themselves, that they should be servants to one another. And that they should have the heart and the attitude of a servant. Even to the very end of the time that Jesus was dealing with his apostles, even to the very scene of the Last Supper, Jesus has declared unto them that one of them is going to betray him. And all of a sudden, they all get real concerned and begin to turn to one another and to Jesus and say, "Lord, is it I? Am I going to be the one that betrays you?" But then almost in the next breath, it seems that they turn from that kind of a conversation to a conversation to where that they're beginning to argue over who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Who is going to sit on his right hand and who's going to sit on his left hand and who's going to be number one? Who's going to be top dog in the kingdom? And it would appear that into that atmosphere and into that kind of a conversation that was transpiring, that Jesus himself, and perhaps without even them realizing what was happening, Jesus, the Bible said, took a towel and began to kneel down in front of them and to wash their feet. Letting them know that this is the attitude that I want you to have. Not one of preeminence among you and not one of who is going to be the greatest. But he said, he that will be the greatest among you, let him be the servant of all. Jesus taught the principle that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Jesus taught the principle of staying hid. He taught the principle of rather than promoting yourself, rather than trying to advance your own ministry, why don't you just find a place to hide? Why don't you just find a place where that you can get in a closet? Jesus was not born to the sound of the band. He did not come into the world at the herald of the dignitaries. He was born in obscurity. Jesus was born in a manger in Bethlehem of Judea, and the only ones that knew anything about it was some shepherds out on the hillside, and they heard about it from an angelic host. The governor wasn't there to proclaim the birth of Jesus Christ. The president wasn't there to acclaim him and to reward him or to bring honor to him. As a matter of fact, when the king heard that there might be someone that was going to compete with him. He said, we got to get rid of this. We got to do something about this. We got to make sure that this light doesn't shine. We've got to make sure that this light stays in obscurity. But Jesus was not one to promote himself. He was hid in a carpenter's home. And all that anybody thought about him was that this is the carpenter's son. They didn't look at him and say, oh, there's the Messiah. They did not look at him and say, well, look at here. Here is the Savior of the world. We get just one moment when there is a burst of light. At the age of 12, we see just a little glimpse of what perhaps is to come when he's disputing in the temple with the lawyers and the doctors and confounding them. And his mother comes and says, what are you doing here? Where have you been? We've been looking for you. And Jesus says, I've got to be about my Father's business. But we don't hear anything else about him. For another 18 years, he goes into hiding and there's silence and we don't hear anything about Jesus. He's not in the synagogue on the Sabbath day passing out his card saying, I'm 18 and I'm preaching now. As a matter of fact, he didn't even pass them out when he got to be 30 and began his earthly ministry. He just stood up in the synagogue, started reading from the words of the prophet. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach recovery of sight to the blind and deliverance to the captive, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he just closed the book and everybody's eyes was on him and he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Hallelujah. They didn't really believe it. The Bible says that he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. He came unto his own and his own received him not. When he began his earthly ministry, performing miracles, opening blinded eyes, unstopping deaf ears, causing lame people to walk, the dumb to speak, cleansing the lepers, raising the dead, each and every time you will find that rather than advertising how great that he was and what a great work that he was doing, rather than advertising his ministry and promoting himself, he rather said, hey, don't tell anybody. Don't broadcast this. Go back to your home and keep this quiet. Don't tell it. The scripture even tells us that in John chapter 12 and verse 36 that Jesus spoke these things and departed and did hide himself from them. He hid himself from them. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came with a mission, but that mission was not his own. It was the mission of the one that sent him. And he let it be known that he did not come to represent himself, but that he had come to represent the one that had sent him. And he let it the works that I do. I do not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. What you see happening, in other words, Jesus was letting them know, is not the work of a man. It's not the work of flesh. It's the work of God. Jesus did not come to get any glory or to bring any glory to his humanity. Can I preach to you a little bit here tonight? Oh, we like to go to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. And how beautiful it is when we get a revelation that God was manifest in the flesh. And there has been some dispute and some debate about the humanity of Jesus Christ. Jesus was a man. In every sense of the word, he was a man. He had human flesh. But it was not his humanity that he came to reveal. It was not his flesh that he came to manifest. God was manifest. He didn't come to make known the man, Christ Jesus. He came to make known the God of heaven. His humanity. He came to manifest his deity. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe that it is the will of God that God still be manifest in the flesh. I said, I believe that it is still the will of God that God still be manifest in the flesh. Hallelujah. And it's going to take a church to manifest God. It's going to take a saint of God to manifest God. Not a church, nor a people, nor a ministry that is promoting flesh, but a church and a people and a ministry that is promoting God. Hallelujah. Oh, he gave us this message, first of all, by example. He made himself of no reputation. He made himself of no reputation. Oh God, it seems so different than what we think of. It seems so different of how that we are so many times. He made himself of no reputation. And then he taught by word the principle of staying hid. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, he talked about giving. And he said, when you give, you don't give to be seen of men. Hallelujah. Because it is not men that you are concerned about pleasing. But he said, the one that you're concerned about pleasing is the one that's in that hiding place. The one that you're concerned about pleasing is the one that's in that secret place. Your Father that seeth man's secret. Hallelujah. He said, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. He said, because when they pray, they stand in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. But he said, when you pray, get in your closet. Get in a hiding place. Get alone with God, and your Father is going to see you in secret. Hallelujah. He said, when you fast, wash your face, brush your teeth, comb your hair, take a bath. He said, you don't want to appear to men to fast. But your Father is going to see what you're doing in that hiding place. Don't appear to men to fast. Oh, he even took it further than that. He said in Matthew chapter 23, concerning the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feast, and the chief seats in the synagogue, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. He wasn't commending them. He was rebuking them. He said, you've got the wrong spirit. You've got the wrong attitude. Please understand tonight what I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself. I have been deeply stirred within my own heart and spirit as God dealt with me about this message that I'm delivering to you tonight. God said, what you're doing, you don't do it to be seen of men. All of their works, the scribes and the Pharisees, making broad their phylacteries and enlarging the borders of their garments. They do all these things because their ministry is all about performance and productions. I'm sorry if what I preach to you sounds a little bit redundant here tonight. I'm just going to preach what God has laid on my heart for this conference. Amen. Oh, if I can only find a hiding place in Him. If I can just find a hiding place in God. Our lives are hid with Christ in God. Would you hear me tonight when I tell you that every major thing God ever did was spawned in absolute and abject secrecy? Oh, yes, it was. He said, I have not seen. Ear hasn't heard. It hasn't even entered into the heart of man. The things that God has prepared for them that love Him. He said, I'm going to do it in secret. Every eye's not going to see it. Every ear's not going to hear it. Every heart's not going to perceive it. But I'm going to reveal it to those that find a hiding place. I'm going to reveal it to those that get in their closet. I'm going to reveal it to those that get Oh, somebody help me preach here tonight. Hallelujah. If we can get beyond the flesh here, I'm telling you, there's something God wants us. Hallelujah. Our eye can see something that other eyes will never see. Our ears can hear something that other ears will never hear. And our hearts can perceive something that other hearts will never perceive. Jesus, He spoke in parables, and He gave us the reason why He spoke in parables. He said, I speak in parables because what I say is a mystery. It's not for everybody. It's not for every ear. It's not for every eye. He said, lest that they should see, and lest that they should hear, and lest that they should be converted, I'm going to speak the things of the kingdom in mysteries. Oh yeah, there is a tremendous principle of hiding in the kingdom of God. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal. Oh, the highways that announce deity most of the time do not come out of suburbia, but they come out of the wilderness. He said, I'm going to make a highway in the desert. I'm going to prepare a place in the wilderness. Oh, the highways that pronounce the kingdom of God do not come on the Broadway. Oh, no, they don't. Jesus said, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Hallelujah. Woo. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord in this house tonight. Hallelujah. Whoa, Jesus. It was a tabernacle in the wilderness. A tabernacle in the wilderness. Not something beautiful to behold externally. They asked Him one day, where is your kingdom? When's it going to come? And He replied, the kingdom of God cometh not by observation, but the kingdom is within you. In other words, it's not a kingdom of meat and drink. It's not a kingdom of flesh and blood, but it is a kingdom of the Holy Ghost. It is a kingdom of the Spirit. He said, the day cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers, when the true worshipers, when the true worshipers shall worship me in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Oh, hallelujah. Are you going to stay with me here a little while tonight? I'm skimming across the top here just a little bit. Oh, but God has always wanted there to be somebody that would just hide behind the cross and that would allow Him to live His life through them. I know that this brand of Christianity isn't popular in our world. No! both, not even amongst one God. Jesus' name, tongue-talking apostolics, but God help us to learn to get somewhere in a hiding place, brotherhood. We gotta hide in Him. We've gotta hide in Him. Every time a deliverer came to bring deliverance to Israel, you're going to find that he was brought out of obscurity. He come out of a wilderness place. He come out of hiding. Oh, yes. I know the idea that we have about doing something for God. Oh, and what a great and grand ambition it is that we should have that desire. I'm sure that every child of God here tonight has the desire, Brother Pixler, to do something for God, to be something in the kingdom of God, to work for God, to do the will of God. Oh, yes, there must be that spiritual hunger and desire within us to do what God has commissioned us to do and what God has ordained us to do in this world. But may you hear me tonight when I tell you that between the calling of God upon our lives and the choosing of God in our lives to do what He wants us to do, there is a process that every one of us have got to go through if we're ever really going to be used of God. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There is a process. And that process either makes us or breaks us. We either become bitter or better, stronger or angrier. God never promised us roses without thorns. He never promised us power without pain. He never promised us success without suffering. Oh no! He said, if you want to be my disciple, take up your cross and follow me. If you want to be used in my kingdom, I want you to come along with me. Go where I go and do what I do and be like I am. Hallelujah. In 2 Chronicles chapter 22, we find a very intriguing story. A king dies, and his mother starts killing all of her grandkids. Grandsons, to be exact. And in the midst of that carnage and chaos, there is a child who is taken and hid in the house of God. And the Bible says that he was hid in the house for 6 years. I don't know how intelligent that Joash was. I don't know how mature mentally that he was. I don't know what his IQ was, what his mental capacity was. I'm sure that it was difficult. It was not an easy time. You try to lock up a 4, 5, 6. How would you like to be locked up with? In a bedroom. That's what the Bible says. In a bedchamber. For 6 years. Locked up in a bedchamber in the house of God for 6 years. And for 6 years, this little boy said, I want to go out and play. Yeah. Come on. I want to play ball. I can hear them out yonder. They're having fun. Come on, it's not going to hurt anything. Let me go out and play with the other kids. No, you can't go out and play. No, you can't play ball. No, you can't do what everybody else is doing. No, you've got to stay hid in the house. Because if you come out of that place of hiding, there is a wicked old queen out there, and she's going to kill you. She's already killed your brothers. And if you come out of this hiding place, she's going to get you. He was there for 6 years. The number of men, the number of his term, he had to stay there until his time was complete. Oh, that hiding place, it's not a very pleasant place to be sometimes, because you see in that hiding place, there's something that's going on. It's not just a place of hibernation. It's not just a place of isolation. But it's a place of spiritual gestation. The Holy Ghost is going to birth something in that hiding place. There's going to be a revival birthed in that hiding place. I wonder how many revivals we have aborted by coming out of hiding too quick. God, I don't want to stay in here. God, it hurts in here. There's too much loneliness in here. There's too much pain. There's too much agony in here. God, let me out. And because that we bust and break out of the womb prematurely, what God wanted to birth in us, the work that God wanted to do in us, the revival that God wanted to give us, never comes to fruition because we come out before our time. Athaliah was the daughter of Jezebel. They were of the same spirit. And that was an anointing killing spirit. Jezebel wanted to kill Elijah more than she wanted anything else in the world. She said, I'm going to kill that man if it's the last thing I do. All right. Come on. She was determined to kill Elijah. Athaliah was determined to kill any and everyone that had the possibility of an anointing upon them. A prophet-killing spirit. And I tell you tonight that the spirit of Athaliah and the spirit of Jezebel is the spirit of a whore. I said it's the spirit of a whore. It's the spirit of a harlot. Oh yeah, let's kill all the John the Baptist that say it's not right for us to make these kind of alliances. Let's kill any man of God that would dare to stand up and tell us that we are not going to be blessed doing the way we're doing and living the way we're living. Let the mouth of all of the Micaiahs that prophesy defeat instead of victory be shut. Oh yeah. Let's just all go to bed together. Oh, it's quiet in here tonight. That's all right. Amen. If I can't preach without a response, I don't need to be up here trying to preach tonight. Amen. You go back and read it for yourself. It was Jehoshaphat and Jehoram and Ahaziah. And on the other side, the descendants of Ahab, and they're marrying and intermarrying. And Jehoshaphat's son takes Ahab's daughter to wife. And it's just a bunch of intermingling and ecumenicalism. You say, oh, they were all Israelites. Yeah, but there was one side that at the time God was trying to bless. And the other side that God at the time was trying to curse. And those that were on the side of blessing, they lost out on that blessing because they got over here on the side of the ones that God was trying to curse. Oh yeah, the spirit of a whore. No, it's not loose out yonder somewhere. It's loose in here tonight. The spirit of a whore, no, it's not out yonder in the Trinitarians. I'm telling you, that spirit's in the one God church. That spirit's in the Jesus name church. That spirit's in the tongue talking church. Oh, yes, yeah, it is. She, the Bible says, is in the church at Thyatira. Huh? Jezebel didn't live that long. It was her spirit. There is a spirit that is loose in the church. Oh, yeah. It's a brash and an intimidating spirit. It's referred to in the female because that it reproduces. It's a contagious spirit. It's a loud, in-your-face spirit. It's a busty and a brash and a flaunting and an overt spirit. It's the spirit of let's paint it up. Let's put some jewels on it. Let's make it gaudy and glamorous. It's the spirit of Hollywood. You tell me it's not in the church. I'm telling you it is in the church. The spirit of Hollywood has come into the kingdom. I said the spirit of Hollywood has come into the kingdom. Oh yeah. And the sad thing about it is, some folks can't tell the difference between the harlot and the virgin. I said some folks can't tell the difference between the harlot and the virgin. Say, oh, that can't be, brother. Well, you just read in the book of Revelation, I believe it's around the 17th chapter, and you'll find that God talks about a harlot church. And John, the Bible says, saw that harlot church, and he was amazed and wondered and marveled. And the angel of God said, John, what are you doing marveling at this harlot church? Oh, I feel like I've lost a bunch of you here tonight. Some of you sit around and gawk at the harlot because she's all made up. Some of you sit around and gawk at the harlot because she's so gaudy. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, a harlot's got to advertise. Well, sit down. A harlot's got to advertise. That's right. She's got to get some business. You hear me? I said a harlot's got to drum up some business. And you know how she drums up her business? By an exhibition. Maybe an exhibition too, but by an exhibition of flesh. How does she get her business? She exhibits flesh. She's got to show off flesh. That's the way she gets her business. She's got to show flesh. Are we going to be in the harlot church? Are we going to be in the true church? I want to tell you that the true church is going to hide. The true church is going to find a hiding place. No flesh. 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 Church has become in too many places is a Hollywood production. It's not by might nor yet by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Do we need good singing? You better believe it. Do we need good musicians? You better believe it. Do we need good preaching? You better believe it. But we don't need it if you haven't been in a hiding place. We don't need your talent if you haven't been in a hiding place. I said the church does not need your talent if you haven't been in a hiding place. If the only time you pray is when you come to church, we don't need your talent. Worship is when you've got an audience. We don't need your talent. If you're dressing to be seen of men, we preach, to be seed of men. If we sing, to be seed of men. If we pray, to be seed of men. If all that we're trying to do is just draw a crowd, any old harlot can do that. What have we accomplished if when they leave, they talk about how great our singing is, and how great our preaching is, and how great our talent is, but they don't say anything about the presence of God? When they leave a true apostolic church, there ought to be one thing that overshadows everything else. There ought to be one thing that stands out predominant above and so far beyond anything else. The presence of the Lord was in that place. I felt something in that house I don't feel anywhere else. Hallelujah. God was manifest in the flesh. Can He still be manifest in the flesh? Or do we come just to manifest flesh? Do we come just to exhibit flesh? Or can we show this world that there is a great God, a mighty God? There's nothing too hard for Him. He's a Savior. He's a healer. He's a Redeemer. He's a mighty God. He's the Wonderful, the Counselor. Somebody ought to love Him right now. There's really two things. You can be seated. There's two things that a whore's interested in. She wants to make you feel good and take your money. Huh? I said, that's all a harlot's interested in doing. Just give you a good feeling and take your money. Tell me there's not harlot churches around. I said, tell me there's not a bunch of harlot churches around. And all they're interested in, Brother Gross, is just making the congregation feel good and take their money. If that's the kind of church you're in, honey, you better get out of there as quick as you can get. Because when you come to the house of God, there ought to be times you feel very uncomfortable. There ought to be times you get so under conviction, you get down on your face before Him. That harlot church has made prostitutes out of a lot of preachers. I said that harlot church has made prostitutes out of a lot of preachers. They'll sell their wares to the biggest crowd, to whoever's got the most money. The wife's got something that a harlot don't have. She's got a covenant. That whore's not interested in feeding the babies, changing diapers. Matter of fact, you get out on the street and that whore
don't even want to act like she knows her customers. And most of her customers don't even act like they want to know her. But the church of the living God that's got a covenant with Him. They're not ashamed to be called His. And He's not ashamed to say they're mine. You see, a whore's got a lot of lovers. But the church has just got one lover. Just one that they are committed to. Athaliah wants to kill you. And God wants you to commit suicide. And the question is, can you die right? You see, it's a whole lot easier to come out of that bedroom and let somebody else kill you than to stay in there and kill yourself. At least if I'm going to die, give me an audience. Nobody to even see me die in here. In this secret place. In this hiding place. We find that process continuing again and again in the lives of the men that God used. Joseph was 17 years old and God gave him a dream. And old Joseph, he thought the thing to do was just tell everybody. And he started telling everybody, man, God gave me a dream. His daddy and his brother said, boy, you are the most egotistical thing I ever seen. Shut your mouth. And as a matter of fact, I don't think that it was really God that wanted Joseph to open his mouth. Because after God got through with Joseph, he wasn't telling anybody about his dream. And it took God a little while to get all of that flesh in the hiding. To where that when the dream finally came to pass, Joseph wouldn't exhibit. I told you, didn't I tell you? 37 years ago, I told you, you're going to want these dates out of me. No, you don't find Joseph boasting after what he's been through. In the pit, lying on in Potiphar's house in the prison.
And Joseph, no doubt at the beginning of that process, may have, oh, I wish somebody would get me out of this pit. Would somebody get me out of this situation? Would somebody would get me out of this? Right up to the end, he said, hey, boy, hey, don't forget me. Hey, don't forget me.
And they forgot him. And God's saying, Joseph, you need to forget yourself. And when you have learned to forget yourself, you can probably get out of this. Moses hid when he was born for 3 months. Hid in the bulrushes. Finally, at the age of 40, Moses said, man, it's time for me to come out. And he had a coming out party. But it didn't last very long. God said, no, Moses. No. We're going to hide you a little while longer. How about another 40 years? Oh.
David running and hiding like a rabbit in a briar patch. And David cries and he says, how long, Lord? How long is this going to last, God? How long is it going to go on like this? God, when are you going to let me out of this trouble that I'm in? When? How long, God? He says, have mercy on me, God. I'm in trouble. My eyes consumed with grief. My soul, my belly, my life spent with grief. My years with sighing. My strength faileth. My bones are consumed. I'm forgotten. I'm like a broken vessel.
And then he said, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Oh, when are we going to learn that our times are in his hand? And if you try to come out of that bedchamber before it's your time to come out of that bedchamber, Athaliah is going to kill you.
Your flesh is going to destroy you if you try to come out of there before it's your time. David cried and he said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then all of a sudden it comes to him and he says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I stay on the Lord. And again, David learns that the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. And again, David cries and he says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He found out being in the house of God wasn't such a bad thing after all. He found out that bedchamber wasn't such a horrible place after all. For he said, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. Shall he hide me? And again, David said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh God, let me find that secret place. Hallelujah. That secret place. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. Oh, the challenge. The challenge of staying in a grave. The challenge of staying under the ground.
except that corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Am I preaching to some young man here tonight? Oh, if my pastor just let me, just turn me loose, if he just let me go, I'd set this world on fire. I'd win the world. Well, you might someday, but there's a process. That God's going to put you through. And if you take yourself out of the process before it's time, Athaliah's going to get you. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. If I can just get beyond the outer court and get beyond the table of showbread and the altar of incense and the golden candlesticks and get beyond the veil and find that hiding place with Christ in God. And it seems like I remember reading that when He appears, I don't need to come out till He comes out. If I can just get in there and stay in there with Him until He says, it's time to come out. And when Moses come out of that hiding place, they said, put something over him. Because all we are interested in seeing is the glory. We don't want to see any flesh. We just want to see God. Hallelujah. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God.
when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Let's stand together.
Oh God, let me out of here. God, I don't know if I can...
I don't know if I can take much more of this. But wait a minute. Seem to hear him saying, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Why don't you just throw your hands up in surrender and say, God, whatever you want to do with me, and whatever, God, that I have to go through to hide this flesh,
that you can be manifest. Don't come out of there, Joseph.
It's not time yet.
Anymore. The Bible says of Jesus that he tried to hide, but he couldn't be hid.
And in everything that we do, we need to be hiding. God, I don't. Just let me hide in you, Jesus. Just let me hide in you, Jesus.